So, coming on to our monthly recap, how has everybody been in terms of successfully completing the targets for last month? We'll go through, I know there's a couple of guys with their cameras off, but for the two that have their cameras on, how are goals setting from last month and how are we set for this month ahead? Thompson, start with you.
Last month I had a couple of like bouts of cold, but got back on track. I'm hitting all the peptides, all the supplement stats, everything. Workout's going great. Figured actually had a Graston kind of like a massage thing that really unlocked a lot of stuff for me. So I might just get that on a periodic basis. It just made my upper body session like really great for some reason. So I must be like holding a lot of tension in my shoulders and neck and arms and stuff. So other than that, I know there's still a lot of things I can improve on in terms of like the audits and stuff like that. I'm still doing devices quite late in the evening, eating quite late. I'm about to make some eggs. But I gotta get that protein in, so yeah.
So what kind of treatment did you have done?
Graston, it's kind of like I don't know how to say it, but it's like a massage but with a tool, and it just basically releases all your fascia and all the stiffness and everything. It's quite painful when you're doing it, but it just loosens everything up really well.
Say,
Was is
how did you find it, Thompson? Because obviously it's non-invasive, but obviously Graston's typically used to break down things like scar tissue and things like adhesions, isn't it? So how did you find it? Because it obviously is quite strenuous compared to a normal sports massage, right? So did you feel that it's given you a kind of little more movement in the areas? Because particularly for you, we know that it's kind of in and around that kind of scapula, the shoulders that you struggle with. So have you noticed a positive difference from it?
Oh, yeah, massively. I mean, it's not the first time I've done it. I've done it quite a few times before, but this time around, just a day or two afterwards, I was just having a really good session. Gab, I was just telling the boys about my Graston. So that really was great for me. So looks like Gavin doesn't have air conditioning still. He's got his arms out.
You're always a big boy, don't worry about
We're lucky he's got a top on. He didn't have a top on in our call earlier on, so
that.
you boys missed all the fun topless meetings earlier on.
Different kind of call.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So, with that, is it like is it fascia manipulation? Is it, they get like a scraper and they scrape the skin? Is it that kind? Yeah,
Oh,
I've had that done
like
before. It's quite.
they really go for it and go deep in, and then like a normal massage with fingers, they find the bits which are stuck and then hold it, and then you breathe into it and you kind of relax. This one, they just get into it and really kind of like just get all the fascia released. So it's for me, it's worked very well. So I'll do it a couple more times regularly, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly painful though, isn't it? I have had something similar done before. That's really cool. And so, like coming into this month now, or coming to the end of June, I assume you and Gav have got your plan set for July.
Yeah, pretty much. I caught up with Gab earlier this week anyway. I'm basically back on full stack everything, peptides, supplements, meal preps as well, like super on point. And yeah, hitting all workouts this week already. So yeah, n nothing.
Kind of phase of peptides you're in at the moment, Thompson. Obviously, with knowing that your work schedule is quite hectic with having to be up late and being quite busy, kind of what's your obviously, I know Greg and probably Gav will know this, but what's the sort of cycle of peptides you're on at the moment?
MOTS C and SS31, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, mitochondrial support, basically.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Greg, we've got to do some more testing for Thompson as well, right?
Yeah, poop test is on the way.
That might change the protocol, brother. I might set the different angles we got to run at, you know? It's a big game changer, especially when you can add something like that in. You find something you got to work on, it changes the process a little bit, but tends to open up a lot of areas we can focus on, you know?
Yeah.
Paul,
Where are you guys at the moment, Gav, in regards with Tiki? Because obviously the goal was, well, the last goal that I was talking about was obviously putting on tissue and kind of continue. Are you still adding weight, you guys? Are you still kind of in almost a building phase?
72 kilos now. So
okay, nice.
We're on a good 10. So the goal now is to get him conditioned down to Costa Rica. So I want to hold that tissue as we condition him, and obviously body fat should definitely for sure drop at that point. But it's managing time, immune system. So I'm looking at inflammation and stuff like that as well. So this is why we want to do a gut test as well. So
yeah,
make sure that's in check first.
Nice. Paul, let's hear it. How'd last month go? What's the plan for this?
Really just a lot of maintenance. Did a week of travel in the beginning of June. Last week was effectively a deload week, getting back into the swing of things. Next week, we're going to be puppy sitting. Then I'm going to be back for another week, then I have another vacation. So just trying not to lose too much progress, or feel like I'm not losing progress throughout all that, because you need to take a break when you come back from. You have to ramp yourself back up from traveling.
And so, like, during travel that's coming up, plus puppy sitting, are you still able to get all your training sessions done within that? Or do you train while you travel and vacation?
The puppy sitting, yes. I'll be bringing dumbbells with me, and I can just do the same workouts I did when I traveled before. But that one's going to be a flat-out vacation to Disney, and there's going to be little kids there, and they're not going to want to wait.
Oh, that's nice, man. So, like, with the vacation, like, it'll obviously be a massive amount of steps. When I know Gab goes to Disneyland regularly by himself without his kids. He's weird. and it's like 20,000-30,000 steps a day that he tends to do while he's there. So there's plenty of activity at least to offset some of the food choices. I believe are not the best.
Oh no, they aren't. They really aren't.
Be surprised, man. So I guess strategies are on there, Paul, to be honest. Like, are you staying outside? Are you staying at an Airbnb or anything like that?
One of the resorts there. I'm not sure what they have there, but I do know some of the restaurants. And I didn't intend using the...
So you're best off looking at the different locations. So, for example, if you go to Epcot, like, it's all fast food technically, but if you go to somewhere like Japan in Epcot, they've got great chicken, rice, vegetables there. You can find a ton. Even in Magic Kingdom, there's a good spot where you can get good salmon, rice, and broccoli. I'll have to dig it out, because I researched everything to stay on point while I was there, and it can be done for sure. You just have to do a little bit of research on a few bits. And the resort side should still have gyms there as well, man. I always go Airbnb, and I'll get up early, 5 a.m., train, hit the day. My calories are super high when I'm there, man. So I've got plenty of room to wiggle. But it's making those good choices and finding where you can get best enough food that you have available, you know. Just dig a little bit of research, man. Andrew will help you for sure as your coach. He'll dig into that too. But there's definitely Magic Kingdom, Epcot, you've got no problem getting good quality food. Well, I say good quality, the best quality food you have at that time. It's not organic and what we would normally eat and things like that, but you don't have to eat burgers and all that stuff. There's quality there, much better options.
Okay.
I think also, kind of just a point on that, I think it's coming into that time of year, isn't it? I think I spoke about it on my last call in regards to the time of the year where, for those of you who have got children or kind of families, the kids are breaking up for vacation. Kind of it's coming into the summer months where typically holidays and stuff are busier and kind of is always something on. So roles and responsibilities with family, with children, etc., change. And I think it's important, each and every one of us, we make sure we remember that as well. So we can't lean into the same operating system we've created when the kids are at school, when you've got a little bit more free time. Obviously, you're still going to have to work, etc. But I think just making sure you prepare for that as well. And again, this isn't directed at you, Paul. This is just for everybody listening to this call, is knowing that the operating system may be tweaked. So you guys have heard me speak often about that 16-hour audit. That's all good and well when you're sending the kids off at 7:30, 8 o'clock for school, etc., and they're not coming back. So I think it's just remembering that kind of this next month in particular and coming into the main bulk of the summer, then maybe it's having a look at that operating system and maybe just rejigging it a little bit to accommodate the things that you've got in. You know how we work in regards to best laid plans with holidays and just kind of not being afraid, I think, for a lot of my guys to be relatively selfish when they're away as well. So as Gav's mentioned, kind of rather than just picking a hotel, make sure it's got the correct amenities, or alternatively, in the best case scenario, it might be an Airbnb. Because the reality, and I've said to a few of my guys this couple of weeks, that if they're not training and they're not eating well, they're not a shadow of a former self, but their ability to show up as the best version of themselves is a little bit more difficult. So I think coming into the next month or two, kind of June, July, August, where it gets a little bit busier and you have got a lot more social activities and those sort of things on, where, albeit holidays, time away with the kids and stuff, is just get ahead of the bell curve. And rather than being reactive to certain situations and allowing it to come upon you, essentially just be a little bit more proactive with the planning around it and just rejigging a few things from an operating perspective, just to make sure that you guys are all ready. And essentially the goal is, wherever you are, whether you're at Disneyland or you're on holiday, take the thinking out of it. I had this conversation with a client today. People always struggle when stress is up and they have to think about something. So by pre-planning, taking the thinking out of these situations, so there is a sense of clarity, I always say to my guys, helps really well and just takes the ability to, well, reduces the risk of them going off piste and potentially engaging in non-conducive activities that are going to steer them away from a goal at this time.
I like that comment though. Like, I think there's an element of like being selfish, and I know we always think when we go on vacations like that, oh, just let yourself go for a week. And I know, and like I can only tell you from personal experience, when I generally do that, whether I go away with family or whatever that looks like, if I let go for a week and I just eat what I want, within 2 to 3 days there's instant regret. I don't feel particularly well. I'm not as present as I should be, like Dan just mentioned. So I think there's an element of being selfish, although may sound like not a positive thing, it reflects in your actions daily when you actually pick things that are more conducive to your plan and how you feel. So I think that's a really good point. Rob, how are we set from last week and coming into this month? Sorry, last month and coming into this month?
Well, I've been doing a 2-week really strict audit on nutrition with Andrew. So probably the main thing I've noticed is my training's feeling really good. I was probably in too much of a deficit previously. I was in that like really high cortisol, lacking performance. So we brought the calories up a bit. But there's been probably for a month or so, I've noticed like training feels really good, energy feels good, recovery feels good, but the weight is just almost bang on. And I sort of go, hang on, by the calories I'm consuming and the work I'm doing, I should still be in a deficit. I should still be dropping, but I'm not. I thought either I'm miscounting calories, you know, it's, you know, when you start really tight and you measure everything and then over time you go, yeah, I know it's my scoop of oats and it's my, thought, am I slipping my portion sizes? Am I sneaking something in sort of just subconsciously that I'm not recording? And Gavin, you mentioned in last week's call, I think it was, you know, when you did it one time and you realized there was extra 600 calories or so that we're just sneaking in. Yep. So doing a 2-week, everything that goes into my mouth, sort of auditing, weighing everything. I'm the idiot people come over for dinner and I'm just like sitting there at the table with my scale weighing everything. I'm like, it's just 2 weeks to try dial that in because I feel quite good, but it's a little bit frustrating. I started doing a waist measurement with my Friday check-ins just to go, is it body comp? Like what's trying to dial that in? Because I'm sitting at about 102 kilos, feeling good, but from the photos when I look at them at least, but it's hard when you see yourself every day, I'm sitting pretty static at the moment. And there's definitely a bit of the love handles around that stomach that I want to drop more. And I know I dropped previously. So I just kind of try and diagnose why that is.
think that's always an interesting point that you make there, Rob, when it comes to kind of dialing things in, and especially when you look at kind of the suprailiac or the umbilical, which is obviously above your belly button and the hips, where most men carry that last little body fat, whether it be they're not lean enough or ultimately it could be kind of cortisol related. I think there's something to be said with what you're doing with kind of weighing things out, because obviously coming from a bit of a bodybuilding background and kind of being in that sort of realm for circa seven or so years, it's amazing what a difference just that certainty creates. And one of your points you made was kind of when people come round, right? And people have always got this kind of stigma surrounded where I don't want to be that guy. But I'm a big believer that for a certain period of time, people have to be that guy to get where they want to get to. And that kind of nailed on certainty, because the way I look at it from a psychology perspective is kind of the people that are interested and understand will get it, and the people that don't will think you're weird. And I've spoken on this call before, is I want to be one of the weirdos. I don't weigh my food meticulous now, because I've done it for so long that I'm sure most of us guys in here, Greg and Gav respectfully, can eyeball stuff. But you've got to have a period where you're weighing things to the gram to be able to then earn the right, more than anything, to be able to then eyeball stuff and be bang on, especially kind of if from a composition perspective, it sounds like you're not 100% happy with what you're seeing in your photos. So I always say, if that's the case, then that's where we do. If your goal is to build tissue, and we agree as coaching and client that we want to put on it, we're going to put on some muscle, which is going to force you into a surplus, which ultimately is going to lead to small accruing of body fat, then that's different. But if you're in a position where you're refining everything and going down to kind of the level of composition that you want to, then I believe that's where people have to be very meticulous with kind of weighing things and having things to the gram. The same with a build, really, but kind of, I think just releasing that stigma of kind of what you're doing is different to everybody else. And I don't know whether you do, and again, this is for the group rather than you as an individual, Rob, is understanding that kind of when there is a specific goal at hand, that things do have to be dialed in. You do have to eat to the gram, weigh out 200 grams of chicken, etc., because that's the only surefire way that you can, well, one Andrew can look at, and kind of from a coaching perspective, we can pretty much predict exactly what's going to happen on a weekly basis, whether it be scale weight, whether it be amount of body fat loss, with having that certainty. If, like you said, if there's an extra 600 calories one day, you'd under 200 calories the other day, and that calorie differentiate across the days are a little bit higher, it always makes it difficult as a coach to be able to predict, right, this week you're going to lose 1.1 pound, you're probably going to lose 0.3 to 0.4% of body fat, and then make it progressive to the point to, let's say your goal was 10%, you get down to 10% in X amount of weeks. So it just gives us and yourself that certainty of it. If everything's right from a physiological standpoint, the changes, it's pretty much physiologically impossible that you won't hit those goals set.
Yeah, and look, I think you know, my journey with Muscle Intelligence, I was sort of did the initial rebody comp, got down quite low.
Yeah.
Bulked up a bit, now I'm trying to go, okay, now dial it back. So the big part of me is, you know, I'm just gonna trust that process that it's, so to me it's just a case of now calibrating like what's not, and at the moment I go, training feels great, sleep's good. I'm also had my call with about sort of the overall nutrition and everything, and so I'm gut microbiome. I'm just sort of trying to work on that, get my chia seeds in. So I'm sort of trying to stack a lot of stuff in there, carefully weighed, to go, if I take care of all that, and then I'm, you know, I can just, you remove the variables. If the nutrition's good, if the training's good, if the sleep's good, sometimes you just get to pin your ears back and just keep doing the thing. So this is kind of why this fortnight's been, let's work out, am I misweighting my food? Am I eating more than I think I am? And then we'll reset, get some more measurements, get some more photos, and then reset for the next month.
Yeah. And I think we said about it in one of the previous calls, is kind of, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? Like when you've been in the condition that you have, that you was in your first phase of the process, and then we start to kind of, I always call it the old normal, new normal analogy, right? Where you kind of typically clients will pick up a few new habits that are integrated as standard, but there will still be a few things in there that aren't quite refined, that kind of are more as old normal, where kind of it might be, and outwardly just picking up a couple of the kids' chips or kind of reaching for an extra hand of chips when things are happening. So little things that are, I always call them unconscious calories. It's stuff that we do when we've got kids or we're around family or significant others that have bits and bobs that are around, where they don't totally get removed. And then obviously we push your food up and then those extra bits stay in there. So I think it is, that's why I always say it's just that constant refinement till you are it, that new normal where everything that you do is geared towards being the best version of yourself. But that new version of kind of, like you've said, when you get lean, that you can stay lean, hold it, and still have and still live what people would, and make it sustainable more than anything. So if you do go out with the kids and there's a off-piece meal or a non-current group meal, it doesn't have a downstream effect on what you're trying to achieve in the position you're in, really.
Yeah, and we're all pretty healthy family, so yeah. Tends to be, you know, like if we go out, it's normally somewhere that I can get a good healthy meal, and I, you know, have a lot of work lunches, but you know, I'll pick cafes where I can go. I know that it just has a good salmon and something at that cafe, and I'll go get that instead of the burger and chips. So overall feeling pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing well, mate. So it's, again, from these initial 2 weeks of kind of, how long are you planning to do? Is that back in now, or is it going to be for, you guys decide it's going to be for a period and then kind of peel that back out, or is that kind of you dialed in for the next month?
I think that the 2 week is the get a stock take of, and then certainly we're in the same phase. I'm doing sort of GBC Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, zone two. So I think that's going to maintain, and it's now just adjusting the macros and the caloric intake to go, am I what I think? So I think I'm at about 2,300 calories, which for me should still be a deficit. You know, 6'5", 102 kilos, training should still be a deficit, but it's not shown on the scales. So I'll just be about adjusting that. Maybe my 2,300, maybe I'm actually at 25, maybe I'm...
2,300 should definitely be in 6'5", and 102 should be, well, I would imagine a relatively significant difference, to be honest. I'd probably have that, and I don't know whether Gav will agree, that's probably going to be about roughly around 25% to 30% deficit, right? Would you imagine, Gav? So kind of in any normal physiological terms, you should be losing around about 1.1 to 2.2 pounds a week by my guesstimation there. So yeah, there's going to be something, again, self-auditing in there, that's kind of potentially not having you at 2,300. Obviously, you guys have been going through all your testing and stuff kind of from a genetics perspective as well. So it's just making sure, obviously, that's all taken care of, and just remove anything that potentially could be in there inhibiting it, essentially.
Because I can go back to this, a little, my tracker. I go back to April, and I'm just sitting around that 103, 102, 101, 102, 101, 102, just drifting around the last 3 months. So something's not quite.
Quick question, Rob. Are you tracking 2,300 calories now, trying to stick to those, or are you just tracking everything you're eating just to see where you're at?
Tracking 2,300 and trying to stick to it.
I do. Okay. And how long have you been doing it?
2 weeks. This is the second week.
Have you dropped any weight?
No. Started last week, I thought, oh yeah, I went like 102, 101. I was like, okay, cool, maybe it was the calories. But now I'm just, you know, that's give or take a big crap in the morning or not. I'm just sitting around that 102 still.
Righty, okay. Right. Need some testing, man. See what's going on. It's 2,300 still, like, it's low, man. You should be
it's low for someone. It's low for someone his size as well, right? Yeah, because expenditure is not an issue, Rob, because you kind of move a lot, don't you? Kind of, well, I've seen your training videos, you train hard. So kind of from an expenditure perspective, you're eliciting a lot of energy during the day as well, right?
Yeah, and I tell my training, that's a good hour session normally by the time I'm warmed up and into it. And then there's the, you know, walk the dog, walk the kids to school, run around with the kids on the weekend at sports. I'm pretty active.
Mm. And previously going back up to 102, kind of, have your calories gone higher than that throughout the process yet?
It is when we were in that bulking phase.
Yeah.
can't remember exactly what we're doing. I think 2400 to 2500.
Do you think Gavin, again, a question just thrown out there, that kind of this there may be cause, because kind of how I'd look at this, again, not having what you guys have got, Greg, from a genetics perspective, there might be a cause to potentially push calories up, which is why there's it's sticking a little bit, because calories are a little bit low. So forcing Rob a little bit closer to his perceived maintenance, which I anticipate would be kind of 3,000 plus, I would imagine. Kind of potentially things have just got a little bit stagnant and weight stopped because the body may be under a lot of stress with, because I'd say 2300 is relatively low for the time that, or 2400 at the time that Rob's been in the process, right? Because he's been in a while. So would there be a cause, do you think, Gav, to push calories closer towards perceived maintenance to see if there's a budge from there?
I would, man. If you've honestly like tracked everything to the T and you're doing 2300, you're not budging weight, I would probably suggest there's like a, maybe like not an adaptive thing, but your body's holding, it's an aldosterone pathway. Your body's holding water weight. There's chronic stress going on. So as you start to titrate those calories back up, the body should start to drop water weight off, and you might see an effect from weight that way, and then push performance with a smaller deficit. So something like that might be a key, because yeah, there's no other way, man.
Especially with everything else seems to be in order, obviously taking care of sleep, recovery, etc. So kind of that's where my mind would go, because the reality is, even being in a 50 to 100 deficit from your perceived maintenance would still elicit some sort of kind of body fat loss, even if it's not weight, body fat loss. Because again, remember, you can hold 103 and still be visibly leaner over a period of 2 or 3 weeks when you kind of get rid of that water and inflammation, as Gav said. So yeah, I think probably a route forward, maybe now that you are tracking calories meticulously, potentially pushing kind of calories more towards that perceived maintenance, and see if there's a almost kind of a super compensation response by pushing those calories closer to maintenance, will it get, which again will take your body into a position that it allows it to bring it back into relative homeostasis a little bit better, and spending a period of time at maintenance and around there is going to, again, from a leptin, ghrelin and a hormonal perspective, is going to kind of ramp things back up. And I'm not sure whether I agree with the kind of whole slowing and quickening up your metabolism, but there is definitely an adaptive mechanism that happens when people spend a long period in a hypercaloric deficit. Kind of the body adjusts and kind of it starts to hold on to things. Typically, it wouldn't be if it was being very well fueled, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Super interesting. Thank you.
I'd look at it this way. There's a couple of other things that come to mind as well, though. There's two. The only other thing that I would consider is like low thyroid, if there's any thyroid issues going on, potentially, or an organic acid test, just to see how well your flexibility is, and if there's anything like high lactate, you can't get fatty acids into the cell, something like that might potentially be an issue. Myself and Greg covered that once with a client. It was like, fuck, we switched something up and boom, we started dropping body fat pretty quick. But the other thing to consider, if they're all good, like if you're not dropping body fat now anyway, just put the calories up. Like you're not dropping it anyway at this amount, so either you've got to drop lower or you might as well just go the other way. And then like Dan was saying, or you can get, it's not so much a metabolic increase, it's just your body has now energy to go. It's like it's not going to hold back. It like allows you to perform a little bit harder. So in your weight sessions, you probably notice like you've got another gear to shift. Do you know what I mean? Like you can crank it a little bit more, and all of a sudden your calorie expenditure can go up because it's just letting the brakes off.
Yeah, gotcha.
So your weight might go up though, like don't fret, like your weight might go up initially because there's just more food coming in the system, there's more glycogen holding in the muscle. And then once you set that, let's say you go up to 2.7 from 2.3 from 2.300, all of a sudden the deficit's a bit smaller, your body weight's up just on the basis that you've got more glycogen, you've got more food in your system. All of a sudden you might go boom, 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 start dropping back down to 2.7. So don't take the first 2 to 3 weeks as like gospel, like putting body fat on. No. Like it's just more food in the system.
Okay. In regards to increasing calories as low to minimize that glycogen response, I know some people and some coaches are like, right, your maintenance is 3.1, you're at 2.4, 2.3, let's shoot your calories straight up to 3,100. Personally, and Again, Greg and Gav, happy for you to chime in. I prefer to intermittently add calories. Kind of, I use kind of 7 to 21 day rule, where, because people get uncomfortable, especially in your position psychologically. If you see your scales jump from 103 to 106 in the first week, you're going to shit yourself. Let's face it, it's not a nice feeling. So I like to incrementally increase weight by anywhere between 150 to 250 calories. First 7 days, if you find your weight holds, great. Increase your calories again, 150 to 300. If you find that your weight shoots up dramatically, just hold them there another 5 to 7 days until that weight stabilizes, then push again. So rather than jumping from 2.3 to 2.7, maybe do it in two jumps. So the first one, you go from 2.3 to 2.5, see how your body responds. If it does shoot up and there's a little bit of worry, hold it there for 14 days or anywhere up to 21 days, and then essentially kind of just increase it again. But if you, after 7 days, your weight's still exactly the same with that 200 calorie jump, just increase it again. So when I'm increasing calories, it's not rushing. Just because we know from a water and a glycogen perspective, kind of you are going to put on weight, and that typically throws a fear into people, where reality most of the time, because you still... The facts of the matter is, even at 2.7, you're still in a deficit. So any weight that goes on is not going to be body fat. It's not going to be body fat. It's going to be water and glycogen. So if, again, you're a little bit worried about seeing that weight jump up, just do it in two or three jolts. And as Gav says, I think you could get to 27 to 29, even pushing up towards around about 3,000 quite comfortably without any kind of degradation to composition. Yes, with maybe a water increase, but again, I'd... At 6'5" and as big as you are, because you're tall like me, like my maintenance calories, to give you an example, I'm 6'4" and what am I? I'm 6'4" and 96. My maintenance calories are around about just under 4,000. Like, kind of, I can get down 4,000 and hold weight. So you thinking about you and me, kind of in regards to kind of where we're at, if mine's around about 4,000, then I can't imagine yours to be that much lower than that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Good boys. Who else is on?
We've got Sean and Dominique, but no cameras on, so I'm not sure where they might be listening. So Sean or Dominique, if you guys are listening, if you can't get to the camera, that's fine. How are you guys? You both well?
I am well, and I saw if everything is going well. I'm just trying to figure out what's my nutrition right now, and looking at everything so that I won't lose muscle as I basically under recomposition right now. So
I send you a Telegram message, man. So I know you sent me the message on Telegram, so take your protein up, brother. You're gonna need a bit more protein. The carbs down here.
What number should I go?
Have to do a few calculations. So what I'll need from you, send me your current body weight. I'll run it through the tracker we used to use, and I'll start setting you a few targets, brother. Okay.
Okay. So besides that, everything's going well. I work out terrific. Sleep's getting better and that stuff. Trying to figure out, like even Ben mentioned about eating most of my meals before. Like two and that stuff, but since I do workouts, he says 90% get it done between like two or three, and then after post workout, 10% is up right there. So I'm doing that. I think it's more helping me manage my keep track of my nutrition much better.
Quick question, Dom. The calories you sent me, are they maintenance calories or your deficit calories?
The calories there was automatically generated by the event, Aerofit app, because there's like, there are a couple things that they ask about me, like weight, and other stuff, and that stuff. And that's what they generated for me under recomposition. So, and that stuff. And so that's the number, that's what they generated with me. So I did that based on that calculation. So
What's your body weight?
173 pounds.
173. So yeah, you're gonna need a little bit more protein there, because that's just under what you sent me is under a gram per pound of body weight protein.
Okay.
Right. So at least 1 gram per pound. So you're going to go 175 to 185 grams of protein. Drop the carbohydrates down to associate from that.
Okay. All right. 175 to 185. All right. Okay. I got that. All right. I'll adjust that on that app.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, everything's going fine. I am feeling better. I'm getting more along.
Good work, brother.
Less tired. So, yeah, there's like that dial time. I'm trying to like get on fire. I'm like doing well, much mentally now. So.
Good work, brother.
Yeah.
You still holding your body comp pretty well? Like you. The pictures you're sending through, you've stayed lean, man. Like the weight we dropped when we were working together, you stayed off, man. So that's a great, that's a super.
Yeah. I gained. Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to, I really want to get down to like really down to see at least maybe a couple abs muscle more. And just from there, that's my goal, is just like decent tone in my stomach area. That's my ultimate goal right now. So yeah. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm just gonna work on that. That's my goal.
Yeah, just you're gonna need to add some muscle on, you know, man. You've lost a ton of body fat for sure. So it's just about adding that muscle now. So it's gonna be a process for you to go through for sure to add the muscle you need. You'll definitely do it. But keeping those calories there, let the calories fuel performance in the gym for you, okay? And just make sure that protein's high enough. Don't scrimp on the protein, okay?
Yeah, all right, definitely. I'm adding supplements. I'm adding whey protein right now and that stuff. And then once my whey protein is done, I might try the beef protein and see if I like that better. So that's what I'm doing for additional protein. So that I know it's like with the food I'm getting, I think, yeah, chicken's a lot of protein. Beef is not much. But I think when I add protein supplements, it adds more and that stuff. And so I take like also some yogurt at the end of the day and that stuff. That's more. So it's like fat-free yogurt, like 18 grams per serving. So that's great. So I'm doing that.
Your budget, right? So I know it's going to be a budget thing as well. So whatever works for you for your budget, best options that you can. Sounds like you got it.
Yeah.
Cut it down to a teaspoon.
Yeah. I get Costco yogurt. So it's cheap. It's like $7 for like a big tub. So that lasts a week. So it's not that bad. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Good work, Dom. Mate, keep me posted on Telegram, okay?
All right. Definitely. Thanks.
Good work, brother. Dom's done great, guys. He's phenomenal. Like he's dropped 120. Over 120 pounds, something like that. Phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal.
I was 250. That was my biggest weight. So
yeah. Good work, man. Good for you. Who else? Anybody else? We all good?
I have Rob's man. Last one.
Oh, Sean, fire away, brother.
I'm just getting started with this process. So I'm currently driving on the interstate. I've got an hour drive to and from work every day. So I work 7:30 to 5:30 typically. My days, I'm an engineer. So I do highway and drainage design for transportations for governments. I'm in Florida, by the way. I think this is the start of week 3 for me. So we're... And as soon as I had my intake call, I actually injured my left knee in a grappling session in the morning, because usually most of my exercise comes from jiu-jitsu before work and after work sessions. And then, so my knee's starting to feel better. I did two, Monday and Tuesday, I did back-to-back days of jiu-jitsu without swelling in my knee. But that's most of my exercise. I eat pretty cleanly, but I don't think I get enough calories, because I'm at like 1400 calories. I get 200 grams of protein, but it's only like 1400 calories worth. That's how like clean that I've been eating. And on the weekends, I'm conditioning horses like 50 to 55 miles on trail each day. So I'm doing 100 miles of, you know, like cardio on horseback. And then we're trying to increase my hydration right now because I have noticed I'm pretty dehydrated. So that's, you know, my sleep wasn't great to start with. I already knew that because I'm preparing for my engineering licensing exam. It's an 8-hour engineering exam, so that's coming up. So high stress, and I'm studying at night when I get home. But now that I've increased my water intake and trying to log that better, I'm basically getting up 3 times at night to pee. So my sleep was already, you know, less than 8 hours. And now, yeah, now I'm kind of broken it up into several pee breaks in the middle of it. So my sleep hasn't been great. I think I've kind of stalled my metabolism. I'm 5'8" and 82 kilos, by the way.
Sean, did you say you were eating 1400 calories a day?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm calculating my calories to be. Yeah.
Who's that? So you've had your kickoff call. Who's the call with the coach?
Andrew.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Andrew will get you sorted pretty well. He'll obviously be looking for ways to obviously get your hydration set so it's not waking you up. Typically, if you can reduce water intake a couple of hours before bed, that can start to obviously help. The closer the bed, you're gonna obviously need to go to the bathroom pretty quick. But if you can get the hydration in before bed, from the moment you wake up before bed, typically I'll wake up first liter of the day is with electrolytes straight away. That's the first thing that comes into my head. Myself personally, that's what I drink first thing. So 1 liter straight in. But yeah, I think he's gonna be working to get those calories up for you, man. Like that'll be a So what is the actual goal? Are you obviously looking to improve performance, put more muscle mass on your frame? Is that the goal?
Yes, 24% body fat. So I would like that to come down to at least 15 and put on muscle mass, because 2 years ago I came off of a horse and broke my shoulder. It didn't tear out the tendon, it broke the humeral head, but it didn't really displace, and it tore my my infraspinatus. So I wasn't able to do anything upper body for like 6 months. So I've lost all my upper body and arm mass too. So, you know, I've been having difficulties gaining any muscle mass in my upper body.
Okay.
So, I mean, everything that for activity right now, everything I'm doing is horse related or jiu-jitsu. So, you know, my legs are not in a bad shape, but my upper body is pretty weak from coming back from that injury 2 years ago. I don't think I have enough calories to be able to put on any muscle.
Yeah, so
So I think
calories.
that's why I'm topsy-turvy for body fat percentage too.
Yeah. Yeah, calories are gonna be key there. And go take it easy with the shot, because obviously Andrew will have this in check with your program for sure, exercise selection wise, getting stability back around that shoulder. The more stable that shoulder is, the more you're gonna be able to build any muscle in the upper body. So shoulder stability is gonna be key. So it might be a slow process first building that back up. But once that's there, you'll get those calories up to where they need to be. So in terms of 25% body fat, that can be relative due to lack of muscle mass as well. So not it might not be that you're over fat. It's just you just have less muscle than body fat at the moment, and you need to bring the muscle mass up. So that might be what you're going through, especially coming off an injury. And the mind frame to think of is think about once that shoulder's set, the gains you're going to get at a quick rate is going to be very, very good. It's like coming back from an injury, you'll recon pretty well. We'll just have to get you in a position where you can perform and put the foot down a little bit, you know?
Yes, sir. And I just think there's a lot going on in this process, just getting started and acclimated to my busy, you know, hectic schedule. So trying to figure out how to incorporate everything as quick as possible, you know, but make it fit in, you know, into my rhythm. Because, you know, obviously sitting at a desk and then 2 hours of just driving to and from work is not ideal for my time management either.
100%.
What I was hearing there, Sean, was there's a potential for a lot of overwhelm with obviously having jiu-jitsu, the drive to work, the breaking in horses, conditioning horses at the weekend. With that, throughout the first part of the process, with you being here for 3 weeks, it's very easy for you to look at everything we're trying to impart and Andrew's trying to impart and be very overwhelmed. So my advice to you personally, buddy, would be lowest hanging fruit. what's the most important thing right now that you can control, manage, and do it in a step-by-step process, rather than trying to incorporate everything. It can become overwhelming and you're like, well, fuck, like there's so much to implement and I haven't got the time to do this. So my advice to you, buddy, with you being in the infancy, is look at the 1 to 2 lowest hanging fruits each week and just build that momentum and then progress it forward. And know, and obviously Andrew will talk you through this because he's awesome as well. It's just picking out the things that you can get at and start to curate that you build into your daily activities and then start to add stuff on. Don't get into the mindset of, right, I'm going to redevelop and revamp everything, because with your drive and with your weekend activities, it's going to be practically impossible to implement everything. So for now, what are the most important things, the lowest hanging fruits, and just nail them from to build that early stage momentum and then kind of make it progressive. So be a little bit better or add another non-negotiable each week to then get you kicking ahead of steam. Don't try to change 5-10 things at once. One at a time, complete momentum, get that reaffirming positive feedback in regards to completing said tasks for that week, and then just keep adding to it, buddy.
Yes, sir. I think that's why we started with hydration, because I think that was a low-hanging fruit one. I just need to dial in, you know, getting that hydration in sooner in the day. Like I stop eating about 3 p.m. So I think I need to try to get all my hydration in before 3 p.m. Maybe that'll help me with my my sleep.
I'd also think about having, like, as long as there's no blood pressure issues here, Sean, if you add sodium, like a reasonable amount of salt, to your evening meal, it'll help you retain some of that water as well. It can be helpful if you're waking up multiple times throughout the night to wee. So it might be able to help you with that, because like hydration is a really, really important goal. But if you're doing all those activities, making sure you're getting adequate sleep throughout the night will just make sure that you're psychologically in a better place to deal with all the new demands that are coming across your plate at the moment.
Understood. I think I don't have any known blood pressure issues. The only thing that we've run so far is the DNA test. So I know they've received it back. I just haven't gotten the results yet. So what I've been currently doing is an Element electrolyte drink. And I've been doing one of those with, you know, around noontime, but I could do another one, because those are like, I think they're 1,000 milligrams of sodium. And then 200 potassium and 60 magnesium. So I don't know if it'll hurt me, but I could probably drink another one with, you know, at 3 p.m. when I kind of cut myself off from eating, you know.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. That would be very useful.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Boys, so I think we've got our marching orders for the next 30 days. I'll be putting this challenge on Saturday for you all. So get ready for the next one. I got loads lined up for you boys. So get in, get after it, Paul. Get those weights up, man. Let's get you strong. Rob, keep us posted on the calorie situation, man. Pop into the group, let us know as well in WhatsApp, okay? Thompson, get ready. Oh, boys, I'm going out and see Thompson on July 4th. If you want to come down? So it'll be me, Thompson, Richard Stokes. If you want to get into third space, yeah, we'll have a little workouts early morning Saturday, grab some lunch with Thompson.
For example, nice day. What day is the 4th on?
Fourth, Saturday.
I'm in Birmingham to do a podcast the day before, I think, so that might work, to be honest.
Right. Get Gregory out for the day.
Any wife excuse?
You have to speak to his carer to see if he'll let him out for the day. Love you, Greg, really.
So what you're saying is we should send stuff in the WhatsApp chat to really fire you guys up and get you aggro the day before, so you take it out on poor Thompson.
Exactly that. Thompson loves it. He's all right. He's all
good. I think Gab hands his ass to him every time he's in London anyway. That's why I can imagine Thompson just being in a ball of sweat when Gab's finished with him most of the time anyway.
You know, we used to have that in the army where, like, if you weren't going to be at the PT session, you'd tell one of the PTIs the day before, like, I heard you're just afraid to even go hard. And that's sort of, you make sure you weren't at that next session. Just
yeah.
Boys, thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for your time today, boys. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Have a great week.